to heal one's broken body, frazzled nerves, or confused mind, one could take the drugs, or one could ride the horse. And so we ask, can one be healed by horse?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1006th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Port Vila who are dealing with the effects of Typhoon Pam. Our thoughts are with you. Or maybe you're tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby. Hello, Jason.
Good to be here as always, Michael.
So you got thrown by a horse, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. We're even then. Folks, to heal a broken body, frazzled nerves, or confused mind, we take drugs. And we take a lot of drugs in this country. But what if we could be healed by horse? Now, had it not been for the fact that I was once healed by horse, I might have trouble taking that notion seriously. But I once was healed by a horse. Way back when I was an inner-city, rabble-rousing community organizer, things got out of hand and just quit making sense. There were a lot of confusion cures available on the streets in those days, as there are today, but none of them appealed. And so I went home to Montana and took a job as a hired hand on a ranch. That ranch filled my days with hard physical and mental labor. I ate hungrily of the ranch meals and slept the deep sleep of work well done. The big reward, however, came at the end of my work day. After the evening meal, I would saddle up a favorite quarter horse gelding for a ride out into the lingering twilight of those big, huge Montana prairies. Though the horse and I never talked much, something must have been communicated because things began making sense again. After the season was over, I returned to my big city, healed by horse. Equine therapy is now claimed to be an effective therapy for physical, cognitive, emotional, and spiritual afflictions, including, get this, attention deficit, autism, conduct and dissociative disorders, dementia, post-traumatic stress, and many other related disorders. And so today we ask, might one be healed by horse? Well, here to help us round up an answer, we have a whole studio full of people today, so we're happy to have that. Gene Cavami, we'll start with you. You are the host of Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center. Is the host a good term for you?
Well, founder. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much for having us here. We really appreciate it.
Pleased to have you aboard.
Thank you. One thing I want to say is Tom Dorrance was a great horseman, and he's quite well known. And one of the things that he said, and I believe it, he's the one that said it, was a horse doesn't care how much you know. The horse needs to know how much you care. And that's the way it is with us when we're working with people. And I think that's why with horses, it's such therapy, mm-hmm. is because they are who they are. They're not trying to be anything that they aren't. And when you make this connection with a horse, it's just absolutely amazing.
Well, that's where we're going to be exploring today, so I look forward to this. Also
okay.
with us today, we have co-founder of Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center, Floyd Cavami. Floyd, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for your invitation.
Yeah, so now, how long have you been riding horses, Floyd?
I'm a newbie.
A newbie.
I am a short bee. I started in the late 90s and had to kind of give it up for some professional reasons in the early 2000s. So I'm a support person here.
You're the support person. Good. And also with us we have Stacy, Stacy James Ryan. And you're a program director, which means you're the person responsible for figuring out all of this stuff about therapy, right?
Along with the benefactors and founders, yes, that is my role. I am responsible for coordinating the activities at the center.
Well, you're a public health nurse, and so you're well trained in the fields of public health and all of what that means. Of course, it means physical and mental well-being and the whole shooting works, right?
Yes, most of my professional career as a registered nurse has been spent in adult intensive care. I'm now in an outpatient cardiac risk reduction setting, but when I went back to UCSF for my graduate work, I did an advanced practice public health course of study, and that had a lot to do with programmatic implementation. It was also a really nice fit, combining the public health aspect of serving the community in conjunction with my long interest in horses and pulling all together the nursing piece of it.
So when you are among conventional medical people in a convention of doctors or what have you, or nurses, and you say, yes, I'm working in adaptive riding. And what do they say? Do they kind of look at you cross-eyed and go, what are you talking about?
There's always curiosity. I think in a highly technological environment, one can feel the disconnect from nature that I think is so prevalent in our society at this point. So I think people are open because they're striving to reconnect with nature and with an authentic being, an authentic relationship. And the horse allows us both physically and metaphorically to be carried into that space. So people are pretty open. I think that along with conventional modalities that are offered, there's a lot more interest in alternative approaches to health and well-being and healing.
I always have this notion, you know, the farther we get from the source of our food, the less control we have over our food. And the less control we have over our food, the more fascinated we become with our food. You know, we kind of get the sense that I'm losing touch here. I'm losing power. I'm losing the ability to control things. So I wanted to ask you, and I give you a little forewarning, have you ever been healed by horse? Jean, let's start with you.
Yes, I can say I have. It's interesting how I got into it. As I have told you, I started late in life with horses, and that was about 20 years ago. I grew up in San Francisco in the Mission District, and you certainly don't see a horse there.
Not for a few years at any rate, right?
Yeah, right. And I don't think there are any there.
And
now
the ones you
either.
Do see there now have policemen on top of them.
Right, yeah. Right. But anyway, and we didn't have much money. It was sort of a hand and mouth situation. And I don't know where it came from, but being young, I just knew I loved horses. And but I couldn't do anything about it. But then Floyd and I were married very young, had our children quite young, and again, we didn't have much means. But I kept telling him, I said, one of these days I'm going to, do something about this horse thing. the initial start of it was we have some great friends who have a ranch in Carmel Valley, and he had horses and cattle, so he invited us to come and ride, and we actually sorted cattle and, you know, taking them down to their water hole and all this. So, and they were really great horses, very calm, and they had a great cowboy there and everything. So anyway, I got home and I said, oh, Floyd, I'm going to do this horse thing. So I bought a 3-year-old Peruvian Paso. So he's green and I'm green. And people that know about Peruvian Pasos, they're very, very high strung. But with horses, the more you work with them and the more you care for them and love them, it's like people. They react to that, and he's now just as calm as he can be. So through all that, and I won't go into details, but as we all say, everybody has stuff in their lives, and I was having stuff in my life. And through all that, just working with a horse, and since I was starting from scratch and my horse was starting from scratch, we, you know, have this bond that's absolutely incredible, and it was very, very healing.
Good. Well, we'd go to Floyd, but we're almost out of time. I have to take a quick break,
okay.
So we're going to pick up Floyd when we come back and ask him the same question. Have you ever been healed by horse? And what about you out there? Have you ever been healed by horse? Or what about other animals? I know other animals are used for therapy as well. Heard wonderful stories about dog therapy recently, too. Have you ever been healed by an animal? Phone numbers today, if you care to join us, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us. We're talking about animal therapy and specifically horse therapy. Can one be healed by a horse? I was once healed by a horse, and I know many others have been as well. What about you? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city greenbelts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, we've all had those occasions, right, where things just don't make any sense anymore. So how do you come to grips when things don't make any sense? You run for the drugstore? Do you pick up something on the street? What do you do? That's another alternative. It's just jump on a horse and ride away. And there is a whole field now of this adaptive riding, equine therapy, using a horse to heal the body and the mind. And that's what the conversation is about today with Gene and Floyd Kavami and Stacy James Ryan Lichen Oaks. Why do you call it Lichen Oaks? Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center. What is Lichen Oaks?
We have it's 1,100 oaks on the ranch. And there's lichen hanging down. It's like moss.
Wow.
And so that's why we named it that. And we've been told that lichen only grows on the oaks when the air is good. So evidently the air is great at our ranch. So all the more reasons to come to Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center.
So people can actually see the lichen oaks. Right.
Right.
Floyd Kavami, now you're the co-founder of Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center and co-host of the effort. What about you? You're a Silicon Valley type, and all of a sudden you're in the horse business. Have you ever been healed by horse?
I don't think so. I've been thrown by horses.
Me too.
I've not been healed, but I've seen it work. I've seen ladies come to visit with Jean specifically, comes to mind who had lost her husband. And the healing that went on with that lady was tremendous. The lady related that horse, and it was a special thing.
Wow. Well, there you go. You're up, Stacy. How does all of this work? My goodness. You bring people in who are hurt, and you heal them. How does a horse work as a therapist anyway?
Well,
horse is the therapist, right?
You know, yes, and I would say more that they serve as a conduit for the healing process, because, you know, therapist, I think it might connotate other things that are maybe more human-oriented in some respects. I think the horse provides the opportunity to interact and connect with something that is authentic and genuine and gives people the space to be in the presence of someone who is something, an entity that is non-judgmental. It allows people the opportunity to see the world from a unique perspective, and whether that is next to a horse or from the back of a horse, it can change your world view. So the opportunity to be involved in a healing process where the horse is an active participant and partner is really lovely, and that's what we strive to offer at Lycan Oaks Adaptive Riding Center. It's not just riding, it's also horsemanship. So one does not have to have the capacity to be on the back of a horse. You can just have the opportunity to be with the horse.
You said something earlier that caught my attention. The horse does not pretend to be something it doesn't, it isn't. And, you know, I would sometimes think of a psychotherapist sitting there with a notepad and that's pretty intimidating stuff, but a horse isn't going to pretend to be anything but a horse.
Correct.
And it isn't going to try to change its personality for you, and it isn't going to do anything that it wouldn't do otherwise. So you kind of have to adapt to the horse. Is that what adaptive riding is all about?
For some, it could be, yes. I think that the horse will give you genuine feedback about where you are at and will respond to how you are.
Like Floyd and I, we get thrown, right?
The adaptation, I mean, horses can certainly serve neurotypical clients, but the who we're reaching out to are people who can be served by what the horse has to offer in terms of communication, the opportunity to increase self-esteem, to be given tasks around the horse that are achievable, so that you're being challenged, but you can achieve something real that you experience. So you have the ability to improve communication, self-esteem.
Right. So there's two parts to this business of adaptive riding. One is riding, and the other is kind of like tending.
Horsemanship, yes.
which means all of the tending horses kind of thing.
The care,
that you do.
Right. Tacking, grooming. Mm-hmm. Though some people really, if what their desire is simply to be in the presence of a horse, that can be completely therapeutic, and there isn't any, the onus is on the person participating to define what their goals are and what they're trying to achieve.
So everybody that comes to an adaptive riding center, and there's adaptive riding centers all throughout the United States, are there not? You Google adaptive riding, and there's quite a few of them all over the country.
Yes, equine-assisted activities and therapies are offered nationally and internationally. We, Lycan Oaks Adaptive Riding Center, is a PATH International Member Center. Mm-hmm. So PATH stands for Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship International. And so there are about 850 centers.
How long have we been doing this? We're not that far from General Custer, if you think about in historical terms. Mm-hmm. Not that far from the Wild West, not that far from the time when, I was thrown by, my first horse that ever threw me was a big dapple gray workhorse on my grandparents' farm, and it was actually a working horse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not that far into the future from horses. They're really close. So this whole notion of using them as healing is kind of like an existential leap, isn't it, for we human beings?
If you look back at the role of horse in the development of human civilization, it's like dogs. You know, horses, humans, and dogs are connected from the very distant past, and we have taken horses into war. We have had them pull our plows. They have carried us and provided a way for us to move forward and expand. Now, with the way our society is, the role of horse is shifting, and I think that we're finding a deeper meaning on a psychological level, though I'm sure people throughout history have always connected with horses.
So maybe that connection is just kind of genetically hardwired into us now. They've been such a big part of our lives for the millenniums that there they are. You know, I was just thinking I introduced my daughter to horses at a very young age. She must have been 2 weeks old. But we were up mining, and we were using horses to get back up into the mountains. And so we put her up on the horse with me, and I could just tell, you know, click, there it is. You become a horse person almost instantaneously. Yes. So there's two kinds of benefits, as I see it, that you're talking about here. One is a physical and the other is a mental.
Emotional.
Gene?
Yeah, emotional is a big part of it. I mean, it can be, you know, anything. Just as Floyd mentioned, this gal that came and rode with me for a couple years, I mean, she was there faithfully every Sunday, and because she was really grieving. And what's so great about that story now, she moved to San Diego, and she remarried, and she is now working at an equine therapy center as a sidewalker. And I just saw her, one of her visits just recently, and she said it's just the greatest thing now, where she is now in turn helping others where she was helped.
So there it is.
Oh, yes.
What about the physical benefits of it? I mean, what kind of physicality is there in working with horses?
Well, parents of a current client were commenting the other day at the end of a riding lesson with their young son who has cerebral palsy. And what they were commenting on is how it was a lovely combination of physical therapy, occupational therapy, and I interjected fun. And we all laughed because this young man was clearly enjoying himself. He likes riding horses. Because
with cerebral palsy?
Yes, he has. Yes, that's what he's there for in terms of the benefit of therapeutic riding. So, for instance, in that case, the horse offers lateral movement of the pelvis, which is very difficult to achieve if one can't walk, quote, normally. So that gives the pelvis an opportunity to move differently.
We're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the different kinds of physical and emotional disabilities we can work with when we work with horses. Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson, right back. Well, folks, I was once healed by a horse many years ago when I was a rabble-rousing community organizer in a big city. Things kind of went crazy, and I thought, how do you pull yourself together when things kind of go crazy and don't make sense anymore? Well, you can take some of the confusion medications you find on all the street corners of America, but those didn't seem to appeal to me. So I went home to Montana, got a job on a working ranch, and I worked. And I worked. And it was hard physical work from the time you get up in the morning till the time you went to bed at night. But it was good work. And I was well fed. And I slept like a baby. But the biggest reward was at the end of my workday, saddling up a horse and riding out onto those high prairies of Montana, those long, lingering summer twilights that would go way into the night. And I remember just running free across those prairies, and oh my goodness, what a wonderful feeling it was. But somehow things started making sense again, and at the end of the summer I had enough money to buy a new pair of cowboy boots and a ticket back to the big city. And so I always hold that time as very precious in my life, and that relationship with a horse and those skies and whatnot. So kind of what we're talking about today, adaptive riding, and not everybody has a chance, of course, to run off to the big skies of Montana and get a job on a working ranch. But there is a way to access horses, the horse therapy. And that's what we're talking about today with good folks at the Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center, Gene and Floyd Gavami, and Stacy James Ryan, who's the program director. Stacy, you're the one that is out there with the horses and the people, making sure it all works. There seems to be a little bit of danger involved.
I guess that's so with life. Yeah.
The horses. I mean, haven't been like Floyd and I. You know, we've been throwing off horses, so we know what all that's all about. Well, as has our engineer, he's been throwing off all the guys in the around here have been throwing off horses, but so we know what that's about. But yes, it is part of life, isn't it?
It is. There's a careful screening process that the horses are put through, so it's standardized so that when people offer to have their horses participate in our program as therapy horses. I'll go out and screen them, and it's based on every horse gets the same standardized test, essentially, that lets us know if they might be suitable. Some of these horses aren't. They're serviceably sound. They might be more mature than a young horse. There are certain breeds that might be more suited, but really it's the individual horse and how they are able to cope with the stress of the job. The horses themselves are really managed quite carefully in terms of reducing their stress, just in terms of their daily management, the way we structure the lessons.
So it kind of depends a lot on who had the horse and what they did with them too, right?
Correct.
You know, you don't want any psychologically damaged horses in it. What about like horses with long legs, like thoroughbreds?
You know, again, because we serve a wide variety of people with different needs, we look at individual horses having value. Some people might need a narrow base because their legs can't simply open much because of tension in their hip flexors, for instance. Other veterans, for instance, might really gravitate, especially if they're a large man, they might really gravitate towards a big, strong draft cross horse. A younger child might feel more comfortable on a smaller pony.
So different horses for different people.
Exactly.
And it's, and I suppose then it's all really matching the horse with a person and the horse's capabilities with a person's needs. And so there's a lot of evaluation going on there.
Correct. Wow. The nursing background comes in handy there because, you know, we're paid to assess. So that and
triage.
Yeah. And also developing the wonderful volunteer teams that support this whole endeavor. I mean, these we're a nonprofit, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, as are many other therapeutic riding organizations across the nation. And we rely on volunteerism. So that is one way in terms of, again, from the public health perspective of serving the community and trying to seek out what the community is looking for and how they can participate, building connections, collaborations, and people being able to come and be trained to walk along the side of individuals on the horse who might have challenges with balance and coordination, and also those who are more horse savvy, shall we say, who could actually be in charge of leading the horse. So every rider initially has a horse leader and two side walkers along with the instructor. So it's a team effort to support individuals who are trying to increase strength, balance, coordination, learning right from left. There's learning disabilities. There is a large population we can serve.
Wow. Well, let's talk about some of those people in the community and the different kinds of afflictions. You mentioned a physical disability. What was it that you were talking about?
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy, yeah.
Down syndrome, learning disability, stroke, where there's asymmetry of the person's body and they can benefit from understanding how to turn a horse right to
left. So take me through strokes, for example.
Well, for instance, if someone has suffered a stroke, they might have difficulty with communication. They might also have an asymmetry of strength and coordination and be off balance. By riding astride a horse with support of the sidewalkers, they can help reintegrate neurologically right and left. You can work on let's turn to the right and utilizing with cueing, using the right, maybe weaker side to turn to the right. So just the neurological integration that comes from the movement of the horse.
Well, those are real physical benefits, right? That's real stuff.
Yes. Yes, there is, you know, in terms of the science behind it, there is evidence. It's an evidence-based practice in terms of occupational therapy and physical therapy. The evidence is still being generated in terms of the emotional and spiritual quality, but that's, again, where, you know, Gene could probably speak to this too, about the empirical benefit of just being around a horse.
Well, I'd like to talk about that because I was just thinking about the notion of putting somebody who has suffered a stroke on top of a horse. First thing, it would seem to me, the big, huge benefit was the notion that, gosh, I've conquered something. I'm on a horse.
Yes.
Just that alone would seem to be a huge benefit for somebody who has suffered a debilitating stroke and is having trouble, you know, knowing left from right. That would be a huge thing to be able to be on top of a horse. I mean, that's kind of like being on top of the world when it gets right down to it. Jean, you want to pick up that notion of the emotional benefit?
Yes, as I've mentioned before, just the gals that have come and ridden with me, and as I said, all of us have stuff. And they'll...
You know what? We're going to run out of time before you tell your story, so I don't want that to happen because I want to hear this story.
Okay.
Yeah, so folks, what about you out there? Have you ever had a situation where you needed an animal to pull yourself back together? It happened to me once and probably more times than I can imagine because I'm always around animals, and they're always around me, so... I know that they're a big part of my life. What about you? Have you ever been in a situation where an animal has actually helped you pull yourself together? This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about the lichen, the activities of adaptive riding. We have the folks of Lichen Oaks Adaptive Riding Center in California, Jean and Floyd Kavami, who are the founders of the center and the host of the center today. And we have Stacey James Ryan, who is a program director. She a registered public health nurse and knows all about pulling people together, which is the job. You stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back. Michael Olson. This is the Food Chain Radio program. We're talking about adaptive riding. We're talking about healing by horse with the good folks at the Lichen Oak Adaptive Riding Center. We have Riding Center, Gene and Floyd Kavami, and also Stacey James Ryan. And you, should you be so kind as to pick up your phones and participate, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Gene, you were talking about, before we came to the break, about the emotional benefits and the emotional experiences of riding a horse. Wow, go ahead.
Yes, it's very, very important and very prevalent. One story that was told to me by a fellow, his name was Steve, who ran a program for 2 years. Because before starting Lichen Oaks Adaptive Center, we met with people to get information and all that. But we asked him about a story, and he said one that just totally moved him and it moved us was a little 8-year-old boy. He was with his father, and I don't know what the circumstances were, but the father died right there. I don't know if it was an accident or whatever. But since that time, he wouldn't speak. And so the mother, and I may cry, the mother took him to all these different places because he just wouldn't speak. And so finally they heard about, the Equine Therapy Center that this fellow, he was the executive director. So anyway, they took him over there and they introduced him to this horse and they talked about the horse too because this particular center took in rescue horses. Now we may do that later on, but we're not doing that right now. Well, they had pulled back this horse who had been abused and then they were using this horse for therapy. And so they put the horse in the arena and then they said to this little 8-year-old boy, told the story, this horse has had a very sad life, but we've helped it, we've cared for it, and now this horse is helping others. So they said, why don't you just go over there and pet that horse? Well, he went over there and he started petting the horse, and then he started talking to the horse.
There it is. What is it, Stacy, that makes for that transition?
Don't know if I can answer that question, but I can say that horses help those with both visible and invisible wounds. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, it's the horses. I mean, I don't want to wax. It's just they're metaphysically wonderful creatures. They're mystical. They're magical. And they're also completely grounded. So they're authentic. They're non-judgmental. They respond to you. They can tell what your intention is. They're masters of reading intent.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can present yourself one way, and they'll know who you really are.
And, very quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're also really forgiving. So if something happens accidentally, they understand that. And they forgive. And they give you another chance. So there's just something very deep. I think you hit upon it earlier, Michael, about just there's a connection that goes back millennium. And I think we just are tapping into that in a different way for our modern times.
Floyd, you were talking a little bit about perspective, and you talked about people who sit in chairs, and gosh, don't we all sit in chairs way too much? And the change in the perspective.
Well, being on a horse puts you at a different level, and think of a person who's confined to a chair. There is a difference about being at that new elevation and having a new view of what's around you, as Stacy was mentioning earlier. And so, you know, that's an important aspect, I think, also for a young person who hasn't been able to stand, for example.
So instead of looking up at the world and looking up for help and looking up for everything, looking up for guidance, looking up for salvation, you're looking down at the world. You're sitting on top of a mighty horse. And you know what? That's what I was thinking, Stacy, as you were talking. There's something about horses. They're big. They're mighty. You know, they're big animals, and they get you around.
They get you around.
And so, you know, in terms of what Floyd is talking about, when you're confined to a chair, as something is being so debilitated that you're confined to a chair, and then all of a sudden you're sitting on top of a horse, and you got some power, you have reins in your hands, you become a different person almost. Is that really what it's about? It's kind of like personal transformation.
That's, I think, what it's all about, is personal transformation. And I also just would like to be clear that, you know, healing is a process, and some people, you can heal into dying. It doesn't have to be that you have a measurable end point of suddenly being able to go from having a body with asymmetry to having things be even. It's about how you're moving through the world and how you're perceiving yourself and those around you and your spiritual well-being. And horses can serve all in that capacity.
Do the effects last? I mean, if you get healed by a horse, does that last as you go out into the world?
I believe it's definitely transferable, but I think once someone makes a connection with a horse, as long as you have the opportunity to keep doing that, you want to do it, and the benefits grow with contact.
Okay, when we get back, how do we get connected with the world of equine therapy, of adaptive riding? Because that's what we really need to know, is that how can we go about healing ourselves and our friends? And here's a way that most of us probably have not thought about. So do stay tuned. We will be right back. So much to talk about, so little time to talk about it in. This is the Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson. Today we're talking about adaptive learning, learning how to pull ourselves back together physically and emotionally on the back of a horse or with a horse and on riding a horse and taking care of the horse, the whole thing. Kind of like pulling your whole world together with the help of a horse, a horse therapist. And unlike human therapists, horse therapists just don't put on any airs. They are what they are, and you have to go to them. You kind of have to sell yourself to them. They look at you, they read you, they know what your intentions are, they know all about you. Because they have this, what, horse sense? Something like that. So is there such a thing, Stacy?
yes. Yes, common sense, horse sense. And, you know, again, they have survived for a long time by being very aware of their environment. You know, they've been preyed upon, and they understand movement and intent, and they look after themselves.
They do.
Yes.
So there are so many things. Gosh, we listed that there's physical infirmities, cognitive. What does that mean?
Of the mind, you know, cognate, how you think. So learning disabilities. Also just stressing that horses can help with both visible and invisible wounds, trauma, post-traumatic stress disorders. When I went back to UCSF and was, again, doing the work with public health, I became very interested in different populations, including particularly veterans. Mm-hmm. So it's a goal of our center, Lycan Oaks Adaptive Writing Center, to grow into serving that community along with anyone else who comes. Now, again, as Gene was saying, you know, we start at age 4, which is kind of the PATH International recommendation for younger participants, and we move all the way into the elderly and terminal illness. You know, maybe someone has mobility, but they have weakness, or they can't sustain endurance. So horses can offer that opportunity as well.
Terminal illness?
Yeah. A dear friend of mine, my best friend, actually died of breast cancer early, and she spent a lot of her last days on oxygen in a pasture with her horse. Just sitting there.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. So how do we get tuned into the world of adaptive riding? What do we do? Jean?
All of the ones that are interested out there, we'd love you to contact us at Lycan Oaks Adaptive Center.
People can call or email with questions.
Yes, and the best thing is to go up on the website, and that's Lycan Oaks, LycanOaksARC, that's Adaptive Writing Center, .org. And I believe all the information that you'll need is there, but we'd love for you to contact us. We just started with our first clients actually last week, and we'd love to have volunteers, donations.
There you go. So people can volunteer, they can be patients, and they can be therapists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
And there are adaptive riding centers around the country. How do people get find one in their own neighborhood?
Well, actually, if they just put in therapeutic riding, a lot will pop up. But PATH is a huge organization.
That stands for what?
Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship.
Okay, good.
And they're huge. And we have a link on our website to them.
Okay, folks, let's ride. This has been the Food Chain Radio program with Gene and Bruce Kabami and Stacy Ryan, Stacy James Ryan, and you. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's first law of the food chain. Agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.